Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. And just a reminder, if you like what you hear, and I guarantee that you will, you can go to iTunes and download it for free 99. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Off the Wall podcast does not cost you a single solitary penny. Having said that, go to iTunes, download it, and get it every week. You don't even have to click it. It does it automatically. You can just subscribe to it. You can listen to Joe Auriemma and myself, Chris Sheeran. And this week, our special guest to kick us off here, a little hockey, one of my closest friends from my hometown in South River, New Jersey, and hockey aficionado, that would be Jay Edelman. Jay, thank you for joining us, buddy.
Thank you, Chris.
You see, I've been saving having you on the program for a while now, and I think I've done a good job because I've saved you for the Rangers and Devils to break down the series. And, you know, the first two games, you have to think, Jay, that this is going to, if not go seven, not go the distance, it's going to go at least six. Both of these teams, you know, they're back-ended by their backstops, Brodeur and Lundqvist. Lundqvist played out of his mind in game one, shutting the Devils out. And then in game two, the Devils got some redirections and some sniper action from Kovalchuk to get on the board as well. And I think that helped them out a lot as well. But what have you seen so far in this series? What's your feel of it?
Well, I think in game one, the first two periods were definitely a filling out process. I mean, the Devils were a little rusty coming off that layoff, and the Rangers were definitely feeding off that adrenaline from game seven over Washington. And, you know, the first two periods were very tight checking. There weren't a lot of opportunities. And then the Rangers took advantage of a power play in the third and, you know, got another one with Kreider. And, you know, it snowballed from there. And then in game two, I think a little bit of the weariness set in on the Rangers. The Devils definitely took advantage of that and forechecked them to death. And what I see in this series, which is, you know, everybody keeps talking about 94. I mean, obviously, you know, two totally different teams from back then, is that it's kind of role reversal. The Rangers are totally a defensive team now, don't score as much, whereas back then the Devils were totally a defensive team. And, you know, they did score back then, you know, back when the NHL was like that. But now, you know, the Devils are definitely have a better offensive team than the Rangers, and the Rangers are more defensive. So that caught my eye as definitely it's a role reversal.
Well, I think I picked up in that answer there, Jay, that you said the Rangers were tired. Don't say that around their coach.
I know. He's, you know, listen, my whole thing on this is when they brought Brad Richards in, you know, he won the cup with Tortorella back in 04 with Tampa Bay, as I'm sure Richards went to these guys and said, listen, this guy is going to get a little nuts and a little crazy, and there's going to be benchings, there's going to be tirades, but, you know, he won't, you know, everybody gets on Tortorella about his press conferences. The one thing I will say is that when you play a team sport and your coach does not trash you in the press, in public, I think they appreciate that. You know, just like the other night with the Gabrick benching, you know, all, you know, true hockey fans know exactly why he was benched.
Well, let us know, because we were talking before we started. So why did he get benched? What did you see in the game?
In the last 2 minutes of the second period, when the Devils got the tying goal and a deflection by Carter, if you go back to when the Devils entered the zone, they were forechecking him, and Gabrick had the puck right by the point, right at blue line, and he didn't get it out, and it got cycled back down low. When it came back to his man at the point, he did not, you know, do the edict, I believe, of Tortorella, which is go down and block that shot. Don't let it get through. Get in the passing lane. He kind of stood up straight and hoped that it hit him, and it didn't. And Carter was right in the middle of the slot and deflected it by Lundqvist. So I think that caught, you know, obviously Tortorella saw it, and that's why he nailed him to the bench. You know, does everybody agree with it? No, I don't. You're down a goal in the third. You know, they came out in the third and they scored early with the deflection, the redirection by Clarkson. You know, and Gabrick's obviously one of your, you know, goal scorers. But, you know, they've he did what he did, and, you know, I guess the team lives with it. They've been doing it all year.
Jay, moving forward now, you kind of had a sense, the way the Devils got to this point, you know, they had a seven-game series in the first round themselves, and in the second round they made quick work of the Flyers. They lost game one and won the next four. I mean, but the thing that the Devils are going to realize throughout this series is that Ilya Bryzgalov is not in goal for the Rangers.
Exactly.
I'm not taking anything away from the Devils' offense, and anything at all, but if you put Bryzgalov and Lundqvist on the ice at the same time, you're going to find out really quick who the better goalie is.
Yeah, well,
having said that, you know, their netminder, and we brought it up at the outset, Jay, Brodeur was 22 back in 1994. Mm-hmm. He's 40 now.
Yep.
And the guy is still incredible.
Yes, he is.
Even if you're the most dedicated Ranger fan and you hate the Devils, I don't want to really compare it to a Michael Jordan situation, but I'll compare it to the Bulls, okay? Mm-hmm. You could hate the Devils, but you have to respect them.
Absolutely.
You have to respect what Lou Lamoriello has been able to do over the years, you know, and I'll say it, they have three cups. The Rangers mm-hmm. have one since 1994. It's true that the Rangers have more cups than the Devils overall. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But in this little window here,
yep.
It's not really little anymore. I can't believe 94 is 18 years ago already.
Right.
But it's just amazing what this team has been able to do. And a lot of the reason that they've been able to do it is because of Martin Brodeur.
Absolutely. I mean, y'all go back even to the 80s when the Islanders won their four cups. I mean, you know, Ranger fans hated the Islanders back then, but you got to respect Billy Smith. He's one of the greatest money goaltenders of all time. You know, and same with Brodeur. I mean, without a doubt, if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have those three cups. You know, if you look at their rosters over those 18 years, they don't have one homegrown Hall of Fame offensive player. You know, maybe Parisi might turn out to be one, but, you know, defensemen, they had, you know, your Stevens and your Niedermeyer, and, you know, those two guys are definitely going to be Hall of Famers, and Danico is a steady stay-at-home defenseman, but they built from the goal out. And listen, Lou Lamoriello is probably one of the most underrated GMs in the history of pro sports. Forget hockey. I mean, what the guy's done with limited resources back when there was no salary cap, and he built those teams and drafted unbelievably. If you go back and look at the goaltenders that are around the league that came from the Devil system, it's incredible. You know, it's really incredible.
Hey, Jay, how are you? It's Joe Auriemma, the Devil fan.
How are you?
I'm good. And, you mentioned – you know, Lou Lamoriello being an underrated general manager in all of pro sports. You just look at the draft where Brodeur was taken 20th overall, and, you know, he evaluated, you know, all of the goaltenders throughout that draft because he wanted a goalie, and he said Martin Brodeur was the best goalie in that draft. And everybody else had Trevor Kidd rated higher, and yep. He actually went 8 spots ahead of Brodeur.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just looking at Lamoriello, you could see what kind of talent evaluator, even getting Scott Stevens in all those years ago for the Brendan Shanahan compensation. So it's been quite a run here for the Devils.
Yeah.
But this series right now, I know you had mentioned fatigue to Chris. Do you think the fact that the Devils had those, you know, couple of days extra off in between series – and if this series does go long, which we all expect it to go, do you think that's going to play in their favor?
It could. I think this extra day off with tomorrow's game being, you know, in the afternoon, I think that it's going to help the Rangers a little bit.
Yeah.
I think their conditioning is amazing. I mean, he really does work them. And like I said, they bought into his system, and they're all in. They're going to, you know, they're going to go to a wall for this guy. I think they like him. You know,
yeah.
Some of the tactics he uses, like I said, as a fan, and I think some of the players don't sometimes appreciate it, but I think they understand. You know, people made comments I heard over certain, you know, talk radio that, you know, it's okay to bench Kreider, but not okay to bench Gavrik. I don't see it that way. I think everybody's accountable. You know, I understand they're superstars, and hockey's a lot different than any other sport. You know, there's a lot of accountability with this with Tortorella, and you know, it's worked. You know,
And
I really see this series, like Chris said, it's going 6 or 7. I think tomorrow's a big game, but, you know, the Rangers have proved they can win on the road. They've had success at the Rock before. You know, like it's a different team, you know, different makeup.
Absolutely.
You know, Zajac coming back has definitely helped the Devils. I think, honestly, it saved their season.
I totally agree with you. He's added that extra power up front. What are the keys to both teams winning this series? What do you think the keys are for the Devils and the Rangers to prevail in this series and go to the Cup Finals?
I think it's both teams are going to, you know, try and keep sustained forecheck, which is going to create chances. And both goalies, you know, it's very hard to beat them clean. I mean, look
right.
at the goals the other night in the 3-0 game. Kreider's was kind of clean, but he came down the slot. He was wide open. But, you know, the shot from the point when Kreider dropped it back to Girardi, that came through a screen. He never saw it.
Right.
You know, Stepan went right in front of him and jumped and, you know, things like that. These goalies are world-class. You know, right now, obviously, you're going to say Lundqvist is better. But, you know, Brodeur is showing that he's turning back the clock a little bit. I mean, that save the other night was ridiculous when he kicked his leg up.
The flip.
Yeah, the flip. That was amazing, you know. And he's, you know, he's going to be there. He's going to be there all series, and the Rangers know it. And, you know, like I said, get traffic to the net, keep, cycle the puck down low, which the Devils have been doing, get it behind the net, get it in the corners, you know, dig, work the walls. And that's what both teams are going to get, you know, have to get dirty, as they say. You have to score some dirty goals. You know, get in front of the net, tips, deflections, you know, maybe goes off another guy and goes in. Just like the other night, you know, everybody thought that Stepan had that goal, but that shot from the point hit Brodeur's pad and went in.
Right,
know?
Right.
Because he was scrambling to recover. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, as far as what Chris was saying, you know, whoever does make it through this series, you know, look, at the Kings are going to be waiting. I don't know if they're going to
sweep absolutely.
Him.
And Jonathan Quick's been so good
this
postseason. So,
he's been insane.
They seem to be just steamrolling through the Western Conference right now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting Cup Finals for either of these teams when they meet the L.A. Kings, which that looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the special teams. It's played such a big role already so far in this series. The Devils and the Rangers both have terrific penalty kills. However, the Devils got, you know, the power play goal from Kovalchuk the other night. How important is special teams going to be throughout this series?
Oh, I think it's going to be huge. I mean, but I don't know how much you watch the Rangers all year, but their power play has been horrible.
Yes, it has been.
It has.
I have seen that, yes.
There's no other way to describe it. And, you know, to get 109 points and have a power play that bad. But if you look back last year, Boston was terrible on the power play in the playoffs. I think at one point they were 0 for 27 or 28. I forget what series, you know. I think it was overlapping the conference finals and the finals.
Right.
And I think in the finals they only had one power play goal or two against Vancouver.
Yes.
In seven games. So, you know, obviously it means something. But if you're playing well 5-on-5, sometimes it doesn't. But both penalty killing teams on both sides have been great. And, you know, I mean, if you get that one on the power play, it's going to boost you and it's going to, you know, cause problems for the other team.
You know, it's been a semi-physical series, but during the regular season, these two teams were known to kind of come to blows and be very physical with each other. Are you a little surprised that it's been a little more kind of set back a little bit? It's been about the hockey and not about, you know, they're both being aggressive. But the physicality isn't what it was during, you know, the regular season games that they played against each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think that happens in the playoffs. You're not going to take chances on starting a fight or an illegal hit to, you know, stir things up because it could cost your team. You know, they've been calling it tight, boarding penalties or high sticks, or it could went up. Look what happened in the Rangers series with Washington with that, you know, that double minor on Ward. You know, they scored two power play goals and win the game. So I think they're trying to shy away from that. And, you know, in the regular season, things have a way of working themselves out, you know, starting your fourth line of your tough guys against the other guys, and it precipitates fights. But, you know, I mean, if you look at the league overall in the past couple of years, the so-called goons are kind of being, you know, pushed out, to be honest with you. Every once in a while, you'll see a guy that's going to be skating around and start to, you know, stir things up. But, you know, in the playoffs, it's just pure hockey. It's hard hitting. And there's guys on both sides, like, you know, Clarkson, Rupp, big guys like that are going to hit, but they're going to keep it, you know, within the rules and just, you know, lay the lumber to people.
All right, Jay, I'm going to put you on the spot. I know where your loyalties lie, but where do you see this series ending up?
I think it's going to be Rangers in 7.
Okay.
I think if the Devils win, honestly, they're going to win it in 6.
So Devils in 6 or
yeah,
Rangers
if they win,
in 7?
I think the Rangers in 7. It's going to go – they've got this history of going, you know, win one, lose one, win one, lose one.
You know? Yeah, I'm kind of sick of it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they can't live with prosperity, and they need adversity to thrive. They need pressure.
Well, they've got it going into New Jersey for the next two games, that's for sure. Jay Edelman, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it today. I told you I would get you on the podcast, and I finally did. And, you know, it was a great job out of you, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right, thank you.
Yeah, we'll be right back here on the Off the Wall podcast, talk a little Yankees. We'll be back right after this.
Want to see what everyone is talking about? Check out the two-time Emmy Award-winning original video content at yesnetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features only at yesnetwork.com. Welcome back to Off the Wall. Once again, here are Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to my office. It's Joe Auriemma. It's me, Chris Sheeran. It's the Off the Wall podcast. We want to thank Jay Edelman once again for hopping aboard to talk a little Rangers Devils. Before we move on to a little Yankees baseball, there's just a little bone I have to pick with the NBC network. The network I used to be employed by. Listen, I understand that the Preakness Stakes is a big deal, especially if you get whatever the horse who won.
I'll have another.
Yeah, you know, if he wins again, you have your shot at a Triple Crown winner at the Belmont. I get it. Fine. But do we really need 6 hours of coverage of the Preakness? Do we really need that? And then a two-minute race, and this supersedes hockey?
We get it. They're horses. They're running.
This supersedes hockey. And by the way, Eastern Conference final between the Rangers and Devils. Now,
to me,
NBC executive will tell me, oh, well, it's only East Coast. No one cares about that on the West Coast.
Nah, that's not true.
Listen to me. Listen. Okay? If I had to take a poll of the country, and they wanted to watch a hockey game, or a two-minute horse race. A 60-minute hockey game or a two-minute horse race.
But we're not even talking about... This is a 1 o'clock game, and the Preakness starts at 6.
Is it even on... Is the game even on the mothership? Is it on NBC, or is it on NBC Sports Network?
The Preakness?
No, the hockey game.
No, it's on NBC Sports.
So NBC, the mothership NBC...
Right.
Is going to have 6 hours
of Preakness coverage.
Correct.
And they, you know, they did this in the Kentucky Derby. I know everything about every one of these horses because they had all that coverage before the Kentucky Derby.
I'm sorry.
I know everything about the jockeys.
I don't need human interest stories on horses.
I don't need Jack Black picking, I'll have another, woo, because he likes the name.
I mean, I'm the butler. Family Guy reference. Anyway, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely no sense.
You know, I'm going to put you on the spot now, by the way.
All right.
You know, you asked your friend, what do you think the outcome of this series is going to be? Come on.
Honestly, I think it's going to go the entire length of the series again. I think the Rangers are going to go to their third straight seven-game series. But I think the Devils are going to win.
Wow.
I think
fatigue is finally going to catch up with this team.
It's going to be hard for them because, listen, in game two, and it's something that Jay didn't bring up and none of us brought up, but, you know, all you had to do is watch the game, game two. There were a lot of times where the Rangers just... Devils weren't even on the power play, and they couldn't get the puck out of their own zone.
Yeah.
And it was against the fourth line.
No, I know. The fourth line played a great game the other night.
So that scared me.
Yeah.
You know, seeing that and getting into these little nuances of the game with Jay and you know, everything he brought up, you know, for these Ranger fans, and listen, I'm a Ranger fan. I love the Rangers. I always have my entire life. But I'm not going to sit here and beat my chest and act like the Devils are nothing and we're just going to roll through them. I think you saw in game two that it's just not going to happen. And Henrik Lundqvist can only do so much. And I heard on the radio the other day, if you score three goals, I think it was Barry Melrose,
yeah.
If you score three goals, you're going to beat the New York Rangers. Because, and I think one of the most telling things Jay said and it was right at the beginning of our conversation, it's that these two teams have pretty much switched identities.
Yeah.
From back in 1994, whereas the Rangers are a very defensive team now, and they don't put the puck in the net a lot.
Yeah, Pete DeBoer, and this is what I love about what's going on with the Devils right now.
Is he going to survive through the series, or is Lamoriello going to be behind him?
The one thing that Pete DeBoer has done is that he's implemented this more offensive, aggressive system.
And it's paying off.
It's paying off, but they're finally, it took almost an entire regular season. Look, they had over 100 points. This is not a pushover team.
No.
But they're really buying into it now. I mean, this is, it took a half a season to really buy
Joe,
into
what
it.
What does it take?
Oh, I know.
Look at the New York Giants.
I know.
Two Super Bowl championships, they really didn't even click till the playoffs started.
I agree. And the way I look at it, Chris, is there's two things that I think are key for the Devils. I think one is a fatigue factor. The Devils making quick work of the Flyers will allow them to have, you know, a guy like Kovalchuk, who had a lower leg injury in the Flyers series. Mm-hmm. That gave him some time to heal up, and they've been they've been very aggressive on the offensive end. They're faster, and right now I think that's a key, that the Rangers have played those 14 to 16 games.
Here's the problem with the Rangers this season, and I've watched a lot of their games. Most of their games. Lundqvist, like I said, can only do so much during a game, okay? If you cannot win if you don't score. And if it wasn't for Lundqvist, most of these games, I've said it repeatedly, I'm like a broken record, it'd be 8-1 or 9-2 or whatever the hell the final score is. He's saved their rear end so many times. It's time for the Rangers to start putting some goals in the net, pucks in the net. I'm talking about Gabrick, who's been basically a ghost. I'm talking about Boyle, who hasn't been the same since his concussion against the Senators. I'm talking, Richards has been fine. I'm not going to get on Richards, because if it wasn't for Richards, they wouldn't even be in this position right now. But the offense has to start scoring. They have to start putting more pressure on Brodeur. You know, the slap shots from the blue line are just not going to do it against Marty Brodeur. They got to take a page out of the Devil's book. They got to get some redirections. And you know what? Brodeur lucked out a couple of times in game two, because the Rangers did have a couple of redirections. One went off the post. A couple missed the post by like inches. So this is playoff hockey. This is what people who aren't a fan of the sport, this is what happens. You know, it's like any other sport. It's like baseball. When you get that seeing eye single that just squeaks between the shortstop and third baseman, or that infield hit that gets a rally going and you score 6 runs in an inning and you win that game in the playoffs. It's a game of inches, playoff hockey. You nail one off the pipe and you're like, oh, we could have took the lead. And 10 seconds later, the other team is down the other end of the ice
on an odd man
scoring the game-winning goal.
Yeah.
That's what's so great about hockey. You just never know what's going to happen. But listen, if the Rangers are going to beat this team, they got to get from their star players. They need Richards to step up, even though he's done a lot so far, but he needs to step up. Gabrick, who was benched, and from what Jay said, for good reason, he didn't go down to block that shot that was the eventual game-winning goal.
Mm-hmm.
That in game two, that second goal that the Devils scored with 3 minutes and change left at the end of the second period, when that happened, I knew that was a backbreaker.
Yeah.
Because you give them confidence heading into the third period. You give them that tie heading into the third period. And you knew, as a Ranger fan, we don't score a lot of goals. Okay, so that one getting in, and if you look at it, besides the sniper attack by Kovalchuk, which Lundqvist had to be saying, really? Really?
That shot was like 140 miles an hour coming out.
And it was 10 feet away from him.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm surprised he had enough reaction time to get his glove up the way he did. Like, yeah. It was in vain, but he still made an attempt to stop that shot. You tip your hat to the Devils. It was a great win for them. It was an awful loss for the Rangers.
You move on. The key is for the Rangers, though. I really do think the key is that they have this extra day rest. They needed it. They really needed it. A lot of the time, I felt like the Rangers were kind of skating in sand. I really did. And
Even strength, they couldn't get the puck out of their own zone.
Yeah, so, you know, I think this is going to be a long series. It's going to be torture for both fan bases,
yeah.
Watching each of these teams battle it out. And
we can only hope it is. I mean, listen, when you've waited all year, when you've waited since 1997 to get your team back to an Eastern Conference final, you'd like to get your money's worth.
Oh, of course. So. Of course. And as you said, the difference between, because I think the Devils, they lost that first game to the Flyers. They knew how to beat this team. Their forecheck was aggressive. And they essentially didn't let the Flyers get out of their own zone. And with that, they were going against Brizgalov, who just had he's like Swiss cheese back there.
I was just going to say he's from Switzerland.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
a lot of holes in his goal.
Yeah, exactly. He's Mr. Softy back there. There were a lot of times where I actually thought Brizgalov played well because they just were peppering him with shots. The difference is, you know, this is Henrik Lundqvist now. You're going against Henrik Lundqvist. So I think this is going to be a very, very, very close series. It's going to be even.
Well, we hope so. And we'll leave hockey in the rear view for now just to talk a little Yankees baseball really quick because we are going a little long on this podcast, but we have to bring it up, Joe, because the Yankees are not playing well right now.
No, they're not.
You know, we're taping this the day after Phil Hughes lost to the Blue Jays up in Toronto. It was a tough luck loss. I thought he pitched, I can't say very well, but I thought he pitched well enough to win. He made the one mistake to Bautista, gave the Blue Jays a 2-1 lead, but the Yankees were 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Again.
What are they,
three for their last 43,
three for
I believe.
The last 43.
With runners in scoring position. That is god-awful. When you have the lineup that Joe Girardi gets to write down on a card every day and they hand it to an umpire, for that team, for those group of veterans to be that bad with runners in scoring position...
And not only that, it's scary.
Joe, I'm going to go out on a limb here. And you might think I'm nuts.
Okay.
But from what I've seen, we're a quarter of the way through the season. And that's when you start judging a team, a quarter of the way through the season.
Now, mind you, this team was 20-18 last year.
No, I know.
They won 97
games. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's a team that doesn't have David Robertson. It's a team that doesn't have Mariano Rivera. It's a team that doesn't know what's going on with Brett Gardner right now. And I think it's tremendous that everybody misses Brett Gardner the way they miss him. Mike Francesa 2 years ago, how are they going to win a world championship with Brett Gardner as their starting center fielder? And now he's Gardy. He's affectionately known as Gardy on that show. So let's just bring that up really quick. But with all these injuries happening, I think there was a stat in the notes the other day. I think they DL'd by this time last season. I think they had, or all season, they DL'd like 12 players.
And
eight.
Right.
Already this season.
Yeah, and
eight.
Those injuries will catch up with you.
And
the bullpen has still been pretty good.
No, the bullpen's been okay. But I think it's bending and not breaking. And I think there's going to be a point during the season where it's going to break. And it's going to break a lot. And I just, you know, it's CC and basically... Who knows what you have? And you have Pettit going tonight against the Reds. That's going to be interesting to see. I think Pettit is going to be fine, and here's why. The guy knows how to pitch.
Of course.
He knows how to pitch.
It's all about routine.
Yeah.
It really is.
Once he gets back into it, I think he'll be just fine. I'm not worried about Andy Pettit. I'm not worried about CC Sabathia. And I'll tell you the truth, I'm not worried about Phil Hughes. I think Hughes is going to bounce back, and I think Hughes is going to... The gun said 92 last night, but there was some late giddy up on that fastball.
That's the difference. I mean, when he has life on his fastball, that's the difference. You can throw 90.
You can catch up to it.
You can live in 91 and 92.
My brother and I were watching that game last night, and he said, rewind that.
You can live there because if you have movement on your fastball, that's the difference. Before, he didn't have anything. It was just a straight 93-mile-an-hour fastball. Here it is, over the plate. And that's what he did. And that's why he struggled. Chris, I got to tell you, the one thing that you're starting to see, and we've talked about it in the past, it's been a feast or famine type deal with this team at points, where it's home run or nothing. And that's kind of what it's been in the past.
That's the way the team is built.
Right. However, I feel like it's even worse this year because they've had a record number of games up until this point where they've scored two runs or less in a certain amount of games. And they've also, you know, blown teams out. Look at the Red Sox game where they came back from 9-0 and they won that game, what, 15-9?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really become, this could be an issue. It could be an issue. Early in the season.
And quick, because if you couple bad starting pitching, Kuroda, you never know what you're going to get with this guy.
Yeah.
It's one up, one down. One up, one down. Have him start at Yankee Stadium.
That's it, yeah. I was just going to say that.
Because he stinks on the road.
Yeah.
On ice. And I don't know what that issue is, but it seems like every time Kuroda starts, you could just guarantee in the first inning it's 2-0. It's 2-0.
And the other thing I noticed is with Nova. Nova, first time through the order, fine. Second time through the order, fine. It's that third time through the order again.
That would explain his ERA.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. When you have a feast or famine offense, the way the Yankees do, and when it's home run or nothing, and when you add that to starting pitching that is suspect, not going to add up to a lot of wins.
No. And
ladies and gentlemen, the Baltimore Orioles have the best record in the American League right now as we tape this.
Right.
Dodgers have the best in the majors.
Right.
By a half game over the Orioles. It's not April Fool's, by the way.
I hear you. At some point, I think that team's going to come back down to
that's earth, fine, but I would like to give a special shout-out to Buck Showalter.
He's got that team playing for him.
Good for him.
And he's got pitching. The pitching has been good. The pitching has finally been good.
And did you see the stat about rookie pitchers against the Yankees this year in five starts? They're 4-0 with a 1.67 ERA.
The Yankees cannot.
And the Yankees are hitting just over 200.
The Yankees have proven time and time again that when they see somebody for the first time, they don't do well against them.
Well, they saw Chen twice, and twice that guy shut them down.
It's true. Teixeira is a big question mark.
Is a shell of his former self right now. I don't know.
Alex Rodriguez.
See, now that's shocking to me because I thought with his spring, and this is why you never look at spring training with a pitcher or a hitter.
I mean, he had that spring last year too.
But I thought, you know, with the knee, he fixed his knee up. He looked great in spring. He was smacking the ball all over the field. I thought this was going to be the turnaround season for him. It's not so far. But when you have, and Cano is struggling.
Yeah, I mean, he is hitting 307 right now. But the power.
Lately,
the power's not been there.
Lately, he's been good. But he got off to a slow start. Teixeira's off to a slow
start. Swisher's slowed down.
Swisher's up and down.
Even Granderson, the best hitter on the team, hit that average is down below 250 right now.
Yeah. And, you know, it's. Listen, I know I am always the beacon of hope and the lighthouse of whatever.
Horror.
But I'm backing down from that because it's just not looking good. You know, you watch the team, they look old. That's how they look. They look old. And besides CC Sabathia in the starting rotation, and you know what Andy Pettit's going to give you down the stretch, which I think will be solid innings and a chance to win. But as we just mentioned, starting pitching, unless you're shut down right now with the Yankees, you're not going to win.
We're quickly approaching June here. And this is where the Yankees need to really turn things around.
And by the way,
they always play interleague well. So they
June is no picnic.
I know. And I'm saying they need to get through interleague. I think they need to get through June where they, you know, have some games against the Rays and the Red Sox. They have Detroit I don't believe they have the Red Sox, but they have the Braves, the Mets.
Yeah, I'll tell you
exactly
who they have. At the end of May, they're on the road for 9 games. Oakland, Angels, and then the first 3 in June are the Tigers on the road.
Right.
Day off, Tampa, 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 Mets, Mets, Mets at home.
Okay.
No day off. Right after the Mets end.
Braves in Atlanta.
Braves, 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 Atlanta. Off day.
Nats.
Nats, 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 D.C. Back home, Braves, Braves, Braves. Off day. At Citi Field, Mets, Mets, Mets. Back home, Indians, 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 who are in first place. White Sox, White Sox, White Sox, White Sox. Back on the road to July, Tampa, 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 day off.
Boston,
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 Boston, All-Star break.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch.
That's
going to make or break their season.
To
me, and I've told a bunch of people this, June is the biggest month of the year.
You're going to know exactly who the Yankees are on July 9th.
And to me, June is going to tell the story of the Yankee season. If they're continuing to hover around 500, that is not a good sign. If they're, you know, if they pick it up a little bit, they're a little over 500, but they're showing signs of breaking out of things. The good thing is there's the second wild card this year. That's their hope.
Listen, if the offense rights the ship, we're not even talking about this.
Right, exactly. They could be in first place by the end of June, and we could be going, hey, you know, this team is on the right track.
And, you know, I'll take my lumps. It's fine.
Right.
I'll take my lumps. If they go through June. But right now, I'm just looking at it from an analyst's perspective, from what I see, and then I'm spitting it out. Okay? I don't think this team is going to be where it needs to be at the end of June. I think by the All-Star break, we know that this team is not going to be a playoff team.
I think it's to be determined because this team can get hot all at the same time, bang through June, and we can be going, man, this team is on a pace to win 95 games. We could be. So I'm not going to go there yet. I think it's a TBD.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to put myself out there on the line, and I'm going to say it. I just, with the schedule coming up and with the way they're playing, if the offense stays dormant, they're going to be a doormat. They are. There's no way with the starting pitching, the way it is, constantly in flux, that the offense cannot perform and the Yankees can win games. It cannot happen. It can't happen. Now, they start a 3-game series with the Reds tonight. Then they have the Royals, and let's not forget, Kansas City took 2 of 4 in KC.
Oakland's playing a lot better.
Oakland's playing better. The Angels are garbage.
However, you never know. Teams seem to get hot against the Yankees.
Yeah, it's the truth.
In Anaheim.
And see, this is another reason why I predicted the Tampa Bay Rays would win the American League East in our first podcast of the baseball season. They have the pitching. They have the horses. Not just pitching, shutdown pitching. They have more than one guy that can shut you down. They have Shields. They have Price. They have Moore. They have the horses. The Yankees don't. The Yankees have CeCe Sabathia. And then a lot of question marks. Because you never know what you're going to get out of Kuroda. You don't know what you're going to get out of Pettit. You don't know what you're going to get out of Hughes. Nova, you know, if he's giving up 4 runs, you're not going to win that game the way the offense is playing. I'm looking at this from a Dr. Spock point of view. And not the one who wrote the book on not hitting your children. I'm talking about the Vulcan. Logically. You might not like it. But right now, that's logic. There you have it.
And that's that.
And will I be eating my words on July 9th?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'll
cop to it. I will. I'll say, you know what? I was dead wrong.
You're putting yourself out there. I'm not. I'm saying TBD.
I was dead wrong. If I am, I'll admit it. but I don't think I'm going to be wrong. For Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. See you next week on the Off the Wall podcast, where I might be eating my words next week because the offense might hit like 700. All right, everybody. We want to thank Jay Elliman again for jumping on to talk a little Devils Rangers, and we'll see you next week on another Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Have a great week, everybody.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.